it's the 50th Reflex Blue Show.
Hey, hey, it's the end of season two.
You know what? I feel like we did about, what, somewhere near 50 of these when we were at Be A Design Group?
53.
This is what I'm telling you. Let's shut it down. Let's say to hell with this. Let's start a new website and start a new show.
We got at least three more to go.
At least three more shows?
Yeah, for season three.
What if you count the Super Bowls?
No, I don't think they do.
No, but we could. No, we're there. We're starting a new site. We're doing it.
All right, you can find it at 36.
You can find it at 72point.com.
Be a 36 point.
Twice as big.
Be a...
Twice as happening.
Be some 36 point group dot whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Let's do this. Welcoming our guest, Chris Kelly.
Hello.
Welcome.
Chris is Donovan's... Playmate here at 1119 Studios.
I don't think that's on the business card.
It's a recess buddy. When you guys go on field trips, the teacher has you guys hold hands. Is that what's going on?
Play a lot of Street Fighter together. Usually get beat.
I would say partner in crime, but Chris is a part-time designer. What's going on?
Yeah, that's what's going on.
I almost said intern, and that's why I was whispering, because I was like, oh, Jesus, is he?
No, he's a paid graphic designer.
All right,
I'm past that part of my life.
Some interns are paid. We should do another internship show. We did one of those early on. Man, when we start talking about it like that, I feel like, damn, we have been doing a lot of shows. They're starting to sort of, like, combine together in my mind or something. But anyway, let's talk about an exciting thing. Speaking of shows, that is going to happen in season three.
We're doing another How Recap specials like we did. We did four of them last year because we will be at the How conference. Actually, all three How conferences.
Yeah, all the in-house, the How conference proper, and the Creative Freelancer conference. You will get your 36-point fix if you are there. And because of the way we do things, you will also get it if you are not there. So
register now at howconference.com.
Yeah, head on out there. So, last time we were there, we had you guys doing some live remotes, some daily recaps. So we're going to be doing that. And we have some other things that we're planning as well.
Yeah, it's still in the works.
That are in the early planning stages. But we have all kinds of content mess. And we're there in what I would call a much more official capacity this year. So we're feeling good about that. So big love to our friends at How Magazine and the How Conferences. Register now at howconference.com.
We already said that.
Do it again. Register now at howconference.com.
Only one plug for show, not three.
Register now at howconference.com. Okay, let's do it. Let's keep going. Let's roll. So what we're really here to talk about, aside from registering for the How Conference at howconference.com, is we're talking about graphic design job interview skills with a Z. With an S. With two S's.
And a 5.
Should we do it with a 5? Do you put the 5 at the beginning or the 5 at the end?
I think it depends on where you're applying, isn't it?
Well, if it's graphic design job, so... Chris, make the call. Do you put the 5 at the beginning or the 5 at the end?
I would say S5 and Z at the end.
Yeah.
Skills.
That's if you're working in an agency. If you're working in-house, you got to follow like the proper dictionary spelling.
Yeah, okay. Well, we could talk about that. Basically, here's the sitch, which I'm just going to go ahead and pretend that everyone out there doesn't already know. A lot of designers are kind of out of work right now.
Yeah. A lot of everybody's out of work.
A lot of everyone, true. A lot of graphic designers. In fact, I just recently... heard about another two rounds of layoffs at two different companies just here in the town that we live in. Is this getting rough out there, cuz?
Well, it's been rough out there.
It's getting rougher, sadly.
Ooh.
I feel like what's happening is like it's finally starting to really catch up to our industry, which is built upon the success of other industries, partner industries, client industries. So those situations secondarily to us have deteriorated so much that now it's really kind of all coming together and affecting enough of, say, an agency's design firm's clients that they're really kind of been downsizing as of the last couple months.
But there are jobs available.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about how to interview for those jobs.
I can tell you of one job that I know of. Just to set the tone of this, it was a job posted on I want to say Coraflow or maybe AIJ Design Jobs, which they are redoing right quick. Maybe we could get pull someone in from that and talk about it. They're moving it over to Behance or Behance, if you want to get all Beyonce style on it. This job that was posted was a pretty good job, pretty much straight graphic design, which is hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say straight traditional graphic design as opposed to digital. I was told they got 350 to 400 applications from all over the nation. So there are jobs out there for things that get posted on the national boards. That kind of mess is what people are going up against.
It took something that was already really competitive and made it even more so. And you can take students and they could be competing against some people that have got a lot of experience right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's a huge part of the problem, because now with the squeeze, you've got, you know, much more seasoned, to use the word. Mm. That's what people like. He's seasoned. He ain't just old.
He's got some allspice.
He's not just old and cynical. He's seasoned. You got, you know, the seasoned professionals that are, you know, applying for, you know, in some cases, entry-level jobs.
Yeah.
And competing with kids right out of school. And, you know, it becomes a, you know, a thing for the employer. Are they going to, you know, let this person come in and take a hit? Or are they going to scrap those people out and go with the youngins? And then if they do, are people getting passed over?
Because how do you ask a place that, or can you, while you're trying to apply for a job?
When you would ask a place?
Like if they would are actually interested in taking someone that's seasoned, or if they want somebody brand new, or do they say in the job interview thing?
No, I feel like if they call you, like you're jumping ahead.
Okay, jumping ahead.
Let's start here. Like just
okay.
You
okay,
send,
let's start here. Where
Jesus,
where,
bitch? I'm conditioned. Sorry, we were talking about this before the show. Should not default to calling people bitch. Cynical.
Where do you go to that you had the most success at finding leads to apply for?
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about finding leads first.
That would be the first step, right?
Sure. I have a spreadsheet. Hey, everyone listening, I am looking for full-time work. You know, I've been freelancing for 2 years. I'd kind of like a full-time gig. I have been actively working on that for a couple months now. Chris,
yeah,
same thing.
Same deal.
Part-time here for this dude.
Yep.
And that's fine, because that's all we got here. Not trying to make anyone come down on Donovan.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But also, Chris is a full-time
Chris
work.
Is a good employee, but,
and,
you know,
and I'm thrilled to have
you know
hours.
What? Let's sell that a little bit. You know who is a fantastic goddamn young designer?
And good-looking.
Chris Kelly. Man, he's got amazing hair, and he smells good.
I do. I shower regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the body wash. Anyway, Chris, where can people go to online to find your work?
Well, you know, it kind of depends on what type of job you're looking for.
Where can they go online to find your work? Your work.
My work. Oh, I've got a portfolio up on coraflot.com.
Coraflow. I like to go Coraflow because I feel like it's a little more sophisticated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best place
to... If it's Coraflot, that's not poetic. But yeah, you are on there because I follow you on there.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's pretty good. They've got a lot of jobs to poke at in there, and it's a pretty mm-hmm. good. It looks nice. It's a nice place to send people to look at your stuff. I did do Creative Hot List there for a little bit, but they charge you to have your stuff up on there. So I've just got my resume there now.
My official review of Creative Hot List is go to hell. I am not like there are so many quality free services out there.
Yeah, Coraflow is way better.
Quality like Coraflow or the AIJ job site or Behance.
Yeah, AIJ is now using Behance.
Yeah, they're moving over to that at the end of February here. Like, there's absolutely no reason to be on Creative Hot List at this point.
Yeah, I've kind of given up on that. You know, there's some jobs that are posted on there that I don't see otherwise. So you know, I still check the job boards there, but
you know, and job boards, I think are a great. You know, they're basically just like classified ads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're old like me and you remember looking in the classifieds to find a job at Subway, but
so you guys having better luck finding open jobs on like the local websites
you know
around
what?
Here or the national ones?
That was exactly the thing that I was going to bring up that I totally like lost track of and forgot to say. I you know, there's the national job boards, but then there's like the other ones, like the local sites, like, you know, around here. There's,
it's gonna change by
region. CareerLink, is that a regional thing? Maybe
I think that's
what we use here in the Midwest.
But those
I don't
cities
know.
That don't have it, there's boards or similar.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you'll find, you know, the local ones I've found, those are where you're gonna go to find your in-house.
Yeah,
jobs.
That's a lot of in-house. You don't find a lot of agency work.
Yeah,
there.
And that is a completely, it's almost a completely different mindset to apply for one of those jobs, because it's like you gotta tuck away that part of your designer ego that says thou shalt not work in Word or PowerPoint.
Right.
You gotta find a back pocket to shove that down in so that you can list MS Office on your resume again as a skill. But so you'll find different jobs there. And then there's things like, you know, of all places, like actually I find that LinkedIn, for being about the most worthless social networking site, like they have a job search on there. But if you just search for a job, you go to LinkedIn searching graphic design jobs, whatever your local network is, it doesn't care. It's like, yo, there's a Shanghai job. Or, you know, if you're in Miami, they're like, Seattle is hiring for designers. It's, you know, and I expect that. You should expect that at things like CoreFlow, which I'll just keep using as my example there. You should expect that. And CoreFlow actually does have, like, Shanghai jobs that they post.
Maybe you just, need to ditch all your friends that aren't regional.
Yeah, what?
On LinkedIn, just delete all your contacts that are not local.
Do you think that plays in? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't think anyone knows how LinkedIn works. It sure ain't really doing anything for. I found one job on LinkedIn and applied for that, and of course I didn't get it. You applied for that job too. That's what we're talking about.
Mm. Yeah, we're kind of competing in some ways.
Yeah, but yo, that sucks.
Yeah,
because we are of two distinctly different experience levels. Anyhow, so let's stop talking about us directly. By the way, do a search for Chris Kelly on CoreFlow.com and find some hotness. There's some good looking birds, I think, right?
Yeah.
Got a good looking little bird on there.
They just go to search for Nate Boss.
Oh, people know how to find me. Right. I got links up on 36point.com next to my head. That's how you know I'm important. Anyway, so you apply for these jobs. You know, I think we just listed off like a dozen places you can do that. And, you know, what we were saying earlier, it doesn't even get down to talking to people at that point. A feeling, and I'll take Chris's opinion on this as well, is getting a response, this is my direct question to you, is getting a response back on sending out a resume cover letter, is that better than sex?
Your heart flutters a little bit. You got butterflies in the stomach. You get a little sweaty palms. You don't know if you want to click on it or not. Mm-hmm. But it's great. Even if it's you know, to let you down and say, you know, hey, we're gonna go with someone else.
Do you get those though? Because I've never gotten a response back that's been like, yo, thanks. We're not really interested in you.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple.
I usually like if that's the case, you just don't hear back.
Right. Yeah, I've gotten a couple, and I always appreciate it because there's some of those jobs that, you know, you apply for it and it sounds like the perfect job for you.
Oh,
and
you keep like Method was
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I know.
That'd be awesome.
About.
But yeah, they're like, that'd be the perfect job for me. And then, you know, they don't call you back for 5 months, but you still got that in the back of your head, like maybe they're still like thinking about it, but it's nice to get a definite no.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, the positive response. Woo. I'll tell you, cause when you're sending out, and I'm not one of those people that I don't believe in like blanketing out resumes out there. Like, I'm a believer in the system that you need to pick and choose what you apply for. You need to tailor your cover letter, your samples and all that to that specific place. Really focus on it. Learn what you can before you even send it off, and then send off something that is tailored to them so that it's personal. So I'll tell you when you're sending out a couple dozen of those and maybe getting two or three hits back, those two or three hits.
Whew. That's great.
Man, that feels good.
Yeah.
Even if they don't go anywhere. But this whole kind of thing stemmed from a discussion I was having on Twitter not too long ago, saying, like, is it possible to be awesome at interviewing for jobs? Because at that point, let's say that they do get back to you.
Most of them, because they've seen your work online, by the time you get to the interview, they've already kind of know if your quality is there or not. It's not like in the past where, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the old way of doing things when the first time they see your work.
Now it's by the time you get in there, they've seen your work, and it's literally just a regular interview.
Right.
Yeah, more or less.
Some places still, though. I mean, I've had a few places where I've interviewed, and I get in there, and then they look at my work, and they're like, you know, we like the way you wrote your cover letter, but do you have more web stuff? No? Okay. Well, then see ya.
Yeah. Then peace out, buddy. Yeah, I've had several places ask for additional samples off of what all all send. I think that that's par for the course. But say you do send those off. Say you do get in room. Like Donovan says, I think you're right. At this point, you know, when you and I got out of school, it you know, the first time they saw your work was in the room.
A lot of times, yeah.
A lot of times. And yo, that was rough. You don't know what they're looking for at that point.
Or one person saw your work at like a portfolio thing, but nobody else there had, so they were just taking someone's word on it. But yeah, there are a lot of people in the room that you're brand new to.
Yeah, so like 8 or 9 years later, here we are, and that's not really the case anymore. Yeah, like if someone doesn't say, bring your portfolio for us to look at, and you know, I've already, you know, you're gonna be trading emails with these people. You're gonna be trading phone calls. It's gonna have your portfolio URL on it. Which, by the way, if you have an email signature and you're looking for a job and it does not have a link to your portfolio on that signature, get that on there. Like, yeah, everyone should know what the level of quality is on your work before you even get there. So yeah, it's like a straight up interview. But and now that we're about halfway done with the show, I feel like we can get to the meat of this. Interviewing for a job as a graphic designer is not the same as interviewing for a job in almost any other specialized field. You know, there's a weird sort of nebulous idea of what a graphic designer is, and you got to play to that in some different odd ways. Let's start with like, yo, how do you dress? For instance, some design firms are way laid back, and like people wear shorts and jeans with holes in them. Or you know, some other places are really, really formal, and people dress nice, and they have that level. So, if you roll into a company, and you want to say I'm a designer that's going to fit in somewhere, how do you do it?
Well, you know, that's one place where you know, my networking's really come in handy. You know, if I know somebody that works there, if I know somebody that knows somebody that works there, I can ask what the dress code's like and that sort of thing. Or even if, you know, they're a big enough company and they have a receptionist, you know, you can call in and talk to them too. Usually business casual is pretty safe with most advertising jobs and that sort of thing, I feel. A lot of in-house jobs, depending on the company, you might want to go full-on suit.
Let's go back there for a second. You really, like, is, and I'll put this to Donovan too, is business casual, is that like not a total and complete risk when going into a job interview?
I think you have to go at the level or one level higher than what they're going to, you know, what they're going to expect you once you get in the job. So if they dress business casual, then you go business. If they dress business, then you might go suit.
And I guess, my idea of business casual might be different. Usually when I go, I've got black slacks, black shoes, a tie, and a button-up shirt.
You know, white button-up short-sleeve shirt and a little black backpack. And
you wear like a tank top under the shirt, and then what happens is you get in the interview, and as you start to see how they're dressing, you start to unclothe until you're at their level.
There's our solid advice. Layer it up.
Show them you're flexible.
Just wear just layers on layers. Pull a Paul Burke Bigler, just layer it on. And then, you know, when you get there, you start seeing people walk around. Maybe while you're waiting in the waiting room, you just start like, okay, now I can lose the one jacket, but I'll keep the other one on.
Every time they're turning their back, boom,
slim it down.
Slim
it down a little bit.
I went to one interview, and I was sitting in the parking lot, and I saw people walking in and out of the building, and I decided to take off my tie in my car to get a little more appropriate.
Now, see, and I think that maybe this is another point, is like at – I wouldn't necessarily say that you are strict entry level, but you are a young designer.
Yep.
I think that that's okay to get away with. I think that at a certain experience level, like, yo, you should be suiting it up.
Well, if you're applying for a level where they're going to expect you to wear a tie, then you need to wear a suit.
Well, yeah, when I don't know if there's any advertising or design job that isn't an in-house thing that's going to expect you to wear a tie every day. You know, regardless, I think that you need to, like, if you are applying for a job that where they say they want 5 years or more experience, you need to suit it up. That is my official recommendation. If they want five, I mean, if it's 10 or more years experience, then you're not listening to this show looking for advice on how to interview.
I hope not.
If it's five or more, I gotta say, you know, you're not going for entry level. You're not going for even low. You're going for mid or mid upper level at that point. Throw a suit on. Do it. Do it right. Man, it should be a sharp-looking suit, though.
Oh, yeah.
Designer's got to have style, but... Right.
A little bit of color in there never
yeah,
hurts.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. You want to play it off your eyes or something, but I'll tell you what. That's what I would think. But
been trying to get those ampersand cufflinks they used to have on Veer.
Son of a bitch. See, I like to use my iPod Shuffle as cufflinks.
There you go.
You're just like, check out my music style. Look at how colorful I am. Look, this one's blue, this one's orange. Heyo.
Gotta prove you're an Apple fanboy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you also have to do that. Again, if you're going in-house,
you might have to do
your Zune.
That's a risky move. Before we finish our section, we want to go to the Meg tip. And by the way, Meg has done a fantastic job doing these.
Holy crap, Meg's been doing these all season long.
Yep.
Go to at Spigumus or twitter.com/Spigumus or
MigReyes.com.
Or MigReyes.com or HumblePied.com. He's got all kinds of things. Go show Mig some love. Here, Mig, take it home.
All right, guys. So for the final student tip to cap off season 2 of the Reflex Flu Show, and staying on subject with the whole interview process, my student tip is know your company's culture. I think a lot of times people go into these, their favorite design studios or their favorite agencies, really stoked about getting the interview, but they don't do enough homework, like what kind of projects they do and, you know, what were their big key projects that got them recognition. And so if the company were to ask you, oh, well, tell us a little bit about why you want to work here, you get caught up. So Justin Ahrens of Rule 29 really helped me figure this one out. It's definitely knowing and studying and being a part of the culture you're trying to get into, because if you're not a good fit, chances are it won't work out.
Man, that's great. And I think what happened was Mig probably knew the culture when he applied for, where is that now? Probably
Threadless?
At Threadless. Probably went in there with a t-shirt he like screen printed himself.
Here's my Mig tip for the season. Be like Mig. Do things like that, dude, and then you get jobs at Threadless. There's our interview tip for the whole show. Just be like Mig.
Easy.
You want to work someplace totally effing awesome? Just be like Mig. Done.
It's easy. Well, I need to start doing that, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the questions that you guys, what's the most frequent question you guys have been getting at interviews?
You know what? I feel like this is where a lot of the meat of this conversation lies, because the questions are really different. It's not just like, though you need to have answers for things like, give me an example of when you had success working as a part of a team. I mean, I think that's the kind of thing that's the kind of question that you're going to get just about anywhere. But then there's like, here's kind of like to what Mig was saying. Here's an example of a project we just did. Tell me an example of when you handled a project just like that. Yes, you really got to do your homework for that kind of stuff first. I've seen questions. There's actually it's like the Core 77 forums. There's this, you know, I'd love to put a link up, but it's a forum post. So it's like, you know, it's garbled and goes anywhere, but of just like great questions that you need to be prepared to answer. And some of them are like, you know, give us an example of a time when you brought a solution to design outside of the normal scope of your work, or when you brought value to a project outside of, you know, what your described job function is. Yeah. And, you know, What else you got? What else you got?
And, you know, some of the things that throw me is, you know, when people ask me, tell me about a time you screwed up. You know, that's a tough one. And you got to try and spin it in a way, you know, you got to have the solution for it ready. You can't just say, this is how I screwed up and you know, I lost a client a ton of money. You know, you want to have your solution ready as well.
Huge, huge tip is be prepared in an interview to talk about how much you suck.
Yeah. They want to know.
Just don't focus on that, obviously, but be prepared. You either want to spin it in a way that comes out relatively positive, or, you know, you want to use it to demonstrate a moment in time that you used as a learning opportunity. A long time ago in a galaxy very near to where we are now, right. I effed up a job. Where the ellipses were set different. There was like the copy on this thing was just lousy with ellipses. They were damn everywhere, and they were formatted differently every single time. It was my specific job to make sure that didn't happen. I didn't make it happen. This was like my first year, like on the job, and we had to pay to reprint that, because the client who was the one who wrote the ellipses heavy copy was mad about them. Just like, man, I tell you what, nothing I love better than a sentence that trails off. But you know what else? Like, that was them. That was their thing. And so, you know, what you do in that situation is you talk about what you learned.
Right.
You talk about
how you grew from it.
Yeah, how you grew from it. How, in my case, I know how to format a damn ellipses now.
And that way
I check my copy. I spell check document 12 times before I send it to print, that kind of stuff.
And that specific problem will never happen again.
That one specific thing.
Very paranoid about it.
Man, that's never going down again. A lot of times, I mean, Donovan, I know it's been a while.
Right.
A substantial amount of time, actually, but you once interviewed for jobs also.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, what kind of questions did you get?
At the time, the last ones I had were more like in-house jobs, mm-hmm. and I think they were more asking.
I think that's valid to talk about.
I think at that time, there's a thing where you have to be ready, you know, I mean, this was a while back, I don't know if they still ask this, but, you know, if you were going to be okay in this environment, because they're kind of worried that, you know, if you're a designer, that's not where you want to end up being.
And you have to, that's one of
those things where Mig talks about knowing the culture. You have to understand not only the culture, but to know that how you would like working there and be ready to explain to them that that is what you're looking for.
Yeah. Oh, God, man, people listening, that is an excellent point. I actually had an interview situation, a couple months ago now, where that exact thing came up. And this is going to sound terrible for me to say out loud, but it was very much like the question was, hey, are you going to be cool working here? We think that you are too cool for this company. And anyone that actually knows me knows that I am not too cool for fucking anything.
You got to stop wearing aviators to your interview.
Yeah, I don't know. My leather jacket.
Were you wearing an ascot?
With aviator patch and my ascot. And, like, Jesus, I don't know. My tennis racket slung over my back. I've never gotten that before in my life, like in any situation. And they're like, I don't know. You got this. You know, we think that we might not be cool enough or something. And like, hey, people interviewing, that is a ridiculous thing. If someone is not willing if someone doesn't want to be a part of your organization, they won't be in the room.
Right. I mean, I've had that come up too. Even I've had somebody say, you know, we're concerned you're going to be bored here.
Yeah.
And, I had to go back and convince them, I think I would enjoy myself here.
I'll tell you what's not boring, getting real paid.
That's right.
Hell is, yeah. So, but that's a great thing because that does come up. And that's all three of us here.
What kind of responsibility do you find to ask them questions? Because I always like to know more about the culture and kind of, I thought it maybe show more of an interest in there, kind of see the working environment that they had, meet the other designers if possible.
I think it's important to ask what goals they have for the person that they're going to hire. At that point, they don't know who they're going to hire. You know, what do they want that person to be like for their company in 12 months? Yeah. I think that's really important to ask. I think it's really important to ask, you know, best case scenario, describe to me how your projects work. Is everything initiated by the client? Are you guys crazy new business focused? Is it some kind of mixture of both? And then that way you can find out if there are a proactive or a reactive company. And both of those have, you know, their ups and downs. You know, proactive companies, you're probably going to spend a lot more time, doing things, you know, very close to spec work or doing projects that aren't going to work out because you don't get the pitch. If it's reactive, you know that just about everything that you're going to do is going to get made, but at the same time, your company may not be assertive enough to go get new business, you know, when the lean times start coming. But, that's one thing that I always like to tell people that they should definitely ask. Those are two things, I guess.
Going back to the MIG tip, you know, if you do your research, asking questions that are specific to the company you're interviewing with always sound good, too. It shows that you did your research on them, you know what you're talking about, and you're at least interested enough in the job to check out their website.
Do you ever do the thing where you look up some obscure fact about their work and then ask them about it knowing the answer already, but you just want to give them that little, like...
I'm going to do it now.
Tell me about this awesome thing.
Yeah. Hold on, he's taking notes.
Here's a pro tip. find out something awesome about the company you're going to interview with, and then ask them about it.
I mean, I like to, you know, I like to look at all their clients and just, you know, ask them what it's like to work with. You know, if there's a client that you're like, oh man, I would love to do work for Method. You know, find out about that client, ask what it's like to work with them, and that sort of thing. And you know, at least shows that you're interested in what they do.
While I applaud looking, like there's so much of that what you just said, Chris, that I agree with. At the same time, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that people go out there and say, what's it like to work with this kind of client? Because I kind of feel like in the interview situation, you're trying to say that, yo, I know what it is like to work with your kinds of clients, and thus I will be a good fit here. So, you know, to our listeners, pick one, go from there, make a decision there. But back to answering questions, I think. I mean, it's very important to ask questions. Yeah. To ask good, reasonable questions, and have them not like, be like,
are you sure you can afford me?
Yeah. I don't know if you got
that's the normally bankroll. How you start the interview process.
Do you see this? This is an imitation Rolex. I don't think you can hang.
When does the company car come into play here?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and certainly, like, hey, don't bring up money.
No.
Until there is a job offer being made. Don't do that.
You wait until they're good and ready.
Yeah. But when it comes back, I want to come back to answering questions. One other tip out there is like, yes, you want to sell yourself. Yes, you want to try to spin everything to a positive light, or, you know, bring negative things around to how it's improved you. And I think that's easier for more seasoned people to do, because you've had more years under your belt to say, well, that was a long time ago, and hell, I've learned a lot since then. It's important to make sure that you're not overselling. You never want to pull that garbage. Like, you know, my worst quality might just be that I am too fucking awesome.
Yeah, pull it might Michael be Scott. Actually,
though. The last thing we have, though, is how do you want to leave the interview? Like, what do you want to leave on?
Either a handshake or a hand job. Hey-o! You weren't expecting that one.
That might explain some things, though.
No, yeah. Hey, wait, how come Nate hasn't found a job yet? Yeah. That might be it. No more handshakes.
What's the other one?
It's important, I think, knowing when to get out. It's like any other client meeting. You know,
you don't want to overstay the welcome.
You don't want to overstay that welcome. You want to get out. You know, sometimes, you know, a person you're interviewing with, maybe they got a chance to show you around before, and maybe they want to show you around the office after. You know, I think that's good, but at that point, just try to treat it like you're on borrowed time. See what you got to see, react in a positive manner, and then thank them for their time. Stand up when you give them a handshake.
Do you make sure that you know when to expect a conversation back, or?
Well, and that's kind of a tricky thing, and I'll actually put that to Chris. You know, do you try to lock it down like a follow-up while you're in the room, or do you leave correspondence to that?
Yeah, you know, I usually ask, you know, if they know when they'll be getting back to me or anything like that. It's kind of nice to know, because then you know how quickly it's good to give a follow-up, you know, thank you, you know, if you send a follow-up thank you email or a card or anything like that back. Kind of gives you a time frame.
You know what I like to do for follow-ups? Always send an email. People are always like, send a handwritten card.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, this it kind of moves pretty quickly out there right now. So maybe just scrap the card and send a really well-considered email. If you interview in the morning, maybe send it at the end of the day. If you interview in the afternoon, maybe send it the very next morning.
Mm.
Send them something. And then they've got your email. And then they got your contact info. But you know what? I was just reminded of actually the most important thing, which is make like the last thing you should do, ask for the job.
Oh right.
Yeah, straight. Like, and it's so easy to forget to do that. Ask for that job. Just you, like don't be like, yo, and by the way, can I has this job? But you put it out there. Like you must tell them in clear language. You want this job. You want to continue talking to them about you getting this job.
I really look forward
job.
To the opportunity to helping you out when you hire my ass.
Yeah, but like even like being a like even just saying like helping you out, that to me that's even a little bit too vague. Like, yo, let's make putting me.
You just grab onto
into
their
this
leg.
Job.
And, please give me the job now.
Yeah. You don't know what it's like for me at home. Just fuck. Just give me the job.
I need this so bad.
I can't go downstairs and play Xbox anymore. There are no more games. I got no money.
There's a spot on my couch molded to my butt.
Oh, God. Let's not start talking about couch spots. All graphic designers need jobs. So if you are a graphic designer in need of a job, number one, if you have any questions about that, send them to us here at 36 Point or on Twitter, twitter.com/36point. We will answer those for y'all. But if you're out there, keep the dream alive. Give it a year. We're all going to be on top of the world again.
And give us a month. We're coming back in season three.
Yeah, this is the end of our season. So we're going to take a break and hopefully breathe new life into some of the functionality of 36point.com. So it might be a whole new world when we get back. We are still going to be doing comics. I say we. I'm still going to be doing comics during that time. So, keep it tuned in right here. And we'll see you guys in 1 month. Peace out, Domin. And hey, thanks for Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Chris Kelly on CoreFlow. Check him out. Send him work. And we'll see you guys later. No,
dude, I'm working here.
Ah, God, chill it out, Domin.
This is how it runs. You gotta stay awake. I'll fall asleep at any minute.
Christ.
Take a nap.
To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.